When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
¿Qué pasa, campeones? Welcome to the Churros y Tácticas podcast. It is Tuesday, the 11th of April. Kian and I are back together again. We're back, baby! We hope all of you have had a nice Easter's, a nice Semana Santa. Hopefully you guys got together for the celebrations, if you celebrate that. There's Passover, if I'm not mistaken, for our Jewish listeners. There is Ramadan for our Muslim listeners. All kinds of things happening around these dates for the different religions. If you're the Dalai Lama, you're asking a little boy to suck your tongue. So it's crazy. It's crazy. It's hey, I didn't say it. The Dalai Lama said it. So
I might be out of the loop on that one. I don't know what you're talking
about.
Are
you serious? Dude, it's insane. I don't know how people are not, no se enteran, how are they not in the loop about this. It's been news everywhere. Also, I say this because my sisters and my closest friend didn't know about it. And I was like, you haven't seen it? There's video footage of the Dalai Lama.
I just Googled it.
Of course.
I am disgusted.
Let me give context to it, if you will. But yes, it is disgusting. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Basically, this boy, I don't know exactly what the event is, but it was this boy's lifelong dream. It's a young boy, I don't know, maybe around between the ages of 10 and 12. Lifelong dream to meet the Dalai Lama. He does so. He's Dalai Lama sitting in his chair, microphone in front of him. The media, the world media in front of this man. The boy gives him a hug, what you could call a hug, I guess. The Dalai Lama sort of does that awkward sort of like kiss thing. The boy like pulls away. Then the Dalai Lama kind of laughs and does an awkward thing of like putting the heads together. Again, you know, religious leaders, that's why I'm not a religious man. But you know, they have their awkward ways of socializing and talking to people, or like, they can touch people somehow. Anyway, then he fucking comes out and says, why don't you suck on my tongue? He says it like in the mic. Everybody's sort of awkwardly chuckling. The boy's like, fuck that idea. I'm definitely not doing that. Like, I didn't want to kiss your nasty ass. And then the chuckle some more. Anyway, the video ends. And obviously then, you know, it went viral. News outlets everywhere was writing about it. And the Dalai Lama posted something on his social media saying, yeah, I'm sorry. And that was inappropriate. Yeah. So,
okay.
And here we are.
This is disgusting. That's a terrible way to start the podcast, I don't tell you.
I don't think so. I think the world should know about this kind of sick shit so that we stop taking these people so holy. Like, these are the holiest of holy, the moral of the most moral, the most virtuous people in the world that we like, we cling to every word for psych sanity. In the meantime,
the only people
it's a fucking
should be worshiping are me and Diego. We are the only infallible, ethically superior people here that you guys should be taking examples to. Because we've been your churros y tácticas. So far, we got the churros out of the way. Now let's talk about some tácticas.
Kian wants to skip this page quick. Like,
I'm ready to turn the page here. I just want to say that I don't know if we can somehow get this in writing and hold ourselves to this. Every single Clásico, somehow, after, you and I cannot get together. Now, I think, truth be told, the patron rave reviews from Patreon on the weekend show, everyone thought you did an unbelievable job at piecing it together. So for those of you guys who did not get in on the action over on patreon.com/churros y tácticas, Diego and I were unable to record together after the Classico. So I did a part one podcast where I set a bunch of questions up for Diego. Little challenges, little kind of playful pushes and questions, hard-hitting questions to Diego about Barcelona's performance against Real Madrid and Camavinga being better than Gavi and so forth. And Diego actually came back and he did a part two, which was absolutely incredible. He played my podcast and he responded to it in real time with some music and all this stuff. And it was masterfully done. And a lot of people commented and said that it was basically like having me there in real time, like a face-to-face conversation. So it flowed naturally. But as great as it was, Diego left the podcast for a second. He's back. Diego, I was just filling in our listeners about like the great job you did in the part two, making it seem like it was a real conversation. So masterfully done. But I would just say we got to hold ourselves, like we got to make an oath to say we got to, no matter what, Easter, Christmas,
I know,
the apocalypse, the aliens,
yeah,
kids swimming, kids' birthdays, trust me, nothing can, you know, we have to make sure we record together after the next Classico.
It's true. And this is not an excuse or defense, but I did text you on the night. I said I could do it tonight. I don't think you saw it because you were off, obviously, doing your Managing Madrid pods.
I did see it, but while I was recording.
Yeah.
Managing Madrid podcast, yeah.
And then the next day, I had those, again, the commitments, not just with my family, but also with friends and their kids. And it wasn't possible. The universe has it out against us when it comes to recording together in post Clásicos. At least, you know, we're on a bad streak. I think over the 6 years we've done our post Clásicos, we're on a bad streak. Es una mala racha. This one falls on me wholeheartedly. And look, man, it was the last one as well. So there won't be any Clásico for a while, until next season, to be quite. Or to the preseason,
oh my God,
rather.
I pray to God we get another Vegas friendly. I'm so...
I think there is.
Please.
I think it's
like
already in the books.
Please. Yeah. I had way too much fun in Vegas last summer. And my body is ready to go back to Las Vegas to watch Real Madrid play against Barcelona. Whatever happens on the field, I don't care. I don't even care if we lose that game. The Catalan journalist next to me can celebrate like he won the Champions League title. I'm okay with it. I just want to be in Vegas for another few days watching Real Madrid and Barcelona. I want to crash. I want to crash the Barcelona training again like I did last year. Infiltrating.
God damn it, Kian. You have me really intrigued, and I would imagine all of our listeners as well. We want to know what the fuck happened in Vegas, and don't give me that "what happened in Vegas" stays in Vegas.
What? You have to come to Vegas for the Classico.
I will
this
come
is
to
unacceptable.
Right,
you
let me
just
see
follow
this.
Your club.
Let me see this, okay?
They can't like you. You gotta like they gotta be able to pay for that to come with, like so you can come to that, right? You work for them.
Yeah, I mean, well, I the thing is, the reporters there. Go. The reporters go. It
I
as
think
a
you
presenter,
have to make a pitch.
Your
you have
job
to make a pitch.
Is in the studio, so you don't get to travel with the team. There's other people that travel with the team.
Can you make a pitch? Say, hey, I have this idea.
I could.
We want to follow the team and interview like and make like a special like you know I don't know like come up with a pitch and make it work.
I will work on it.
All right, cool. Listen, what do you want to talk about this week? Because,
well, I think some people want to have a bit of a part three, I guess, of
okay.
the classic.
So my response to your response kind of thing?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, that would be good. I mean, I actually didn't hear any of your Managing Madrid pod. So, and because your part
paywalled.
One was brief. Oh, it was paywall.
Yeah.
I didn't really get a sense of your, other than your initial churros and rolling the R, tácticas. That was funny. I didn't get a sense of how you felt the night went for Real Madrid. Obviously deserved win. The biggest win since before Keon was born. And
biggest one. 1995, Ivan Zamorano, bam, bam, hat trick, baby. Michael
that's
Laudrup.
More or less,
Michael
that's
Laudrup
when you were born.
The good side.
But that's when you were born, more or
that's
less.
That's true. I was born in 1997. True.
Yeah, I guess that. Yeah, I mean, if you want to start there, then we can talk about the weekend. I mean, fuck, a lot happened over the weekend. What's the latest
weekend
on
is
that?
Boring. I mean, Barca won the league.
What? No, I mean, I'm talking about
The real story is what happens underneath Real Madrid right now. I mean, Atletico could very possibly grab
only
second.
2 points away.
Yeah,
right.
Villarreal's win against us was massive for them.
It was so good.
Yeah, there's a lot at stake underneath the
fight
bracket.
Do you know about the Baena fight? Yeah.
Well, I suppose Baena Fede is not something we've discussed yet. Yeah, there is that. I mean, I have not commented on that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really. It's one of those things where like everybody has to like just put an opinion quickly, and I didn't feel like chiming in on that for whatever reason, other than the fact that, if anyone said anything about my kid, if anyone said anything about your kid, I'm sure we all would react to some degree that maybe we would regret later. I don't think what Fede did is justifiable, but I also don't blame him for reacting a certain way. And obviously, he's going to get in trouble for this because there's no evidence, and of course there would be no evidence of Baena saying what he said, because who the hell is going to be able to document something like that that is being said to Fede? And certainly Fede does not strike me as someone who would make something up like that just so he can go punch someone. It was an action that will deservedly be punished, because you can't be throwing hands like that and then not accept any repercussions. But I also don't necessarily judge or hold anything against Fede for reacting the way he did. Because if it's true that Baena said what he did, I certainly can't sit here and say that I would have been.
What if it's not
righteous.
True? What if it's not true? And because we saw images of the tension sort of incrementing and increasing as the game progressed, right, between Fede and Baena.
It just would seem really, really a little bit too ridiculous to make something like that up just so you can go punch someone after, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, you would have to be kind of sick in the head to do something like to make it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I believe Fede when he says that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is one of those things that like, what am I going to comment on social media? Just to say a bunch of this stuff that I verbalize now, you know what I mean? And it was hard to kind of comment on other than the fact that what I said, it is what I said, basically.
Yeah.
But he is going to be punished for it. I mean,
what's going to happen? I mean, I was reading that this could go beyond, obviously, just the like football. This could be actually brought to the police.
Well, I think it was, right? I mean, Baena did.
It is. It has been denounced. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what those punishments will be, but. I mean, I don't think it's going to be that crazy. I think, you know what, he can get charged for it, and then he'll probably miss like a bunch of games in La Liga this season, which, quite honest, from a sporting perspective, who cares? But I don't think it'll be anything beyond that.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know.
What did Pepe get for his lash that year?
11 games?
11 games? This is not worse than what Pepe did, is it?
I want to say it was 8 or 11 games. No.
Or on par, I guess, at worst.
I mean, Jesus, it was because we don't have the images, but what Pepe did was, it was the most, is the craziest thing I've ever seen on a pitch. It's just the person that lost the plot and went full blown psycho mode.
What do you think Zidane would have gotten for the headbutt if he didn't retire?
Now?
Yeah. He retired, so. It didn't really matter. It was his. It was just.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? It was his final. That's right. That was what made it so poetic. What would he get? I mean, between 8 and 11 matches, something like that. 8 matches, yeah. Maybe.
So that's probably what Fede is going to get. Baena's reporting like he got a little concussion. I'd be surprised if that was true.
But how did you see that? I mean, in retrospect, forget what, you know, why it happened and what happened. Watching the match, were you, because you see it when two players have it out for each other. We saw it in a Clásico and, you know, throughout history. Were you aware of what was happening? What was brewing between the two?
I didn't. No. I mean, I was completely surprised about the whole Fede thing for obvious reasons. But at the same time, like, I didn't see, we've played Villarreal before and there has been tension before. Like, this game didn't strike me as more tense than, for example, our last game against Villarreal, where Pepe Reina got off the bench and he was yelling at Vinicius. That one seemed more tense than this one. I didn't see anything brewing that would cause some violence. Something must have been said. Like, that's why I believe Fede.
Yeah, I mean, I have idea.
My kids are would be completely off limits if someone said shit to me. Like, honestly.
100%. I wouldn't be able to control myself.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and act sanctimonious. I mean, I would.
And also, if what he said was true, who is the sick person? Fede or Baena?
Of course. Of course. Yeah.
So, yeah. That's how I feel about it.
Well, let's see. I haven't, you know, I've seen the headlines. I've not had the time to really dig into it, you know, and comunicados oficiales, like these official statements that get put out from one side or the other, say little to nothing when it comes to the actual facts. So, you know, it's just been talked about a lot, journalists coming out talking about it. I haven't really heard of any, you know, the scene I imagine, which was like when Mourinho was waiting for the ref in the Camp Nou parking lot after whatever Clásico that was. Like,
was that the one before the Piqué speech?
Yeah, it must have been. It must have been. But so I, you know, I would just like to know what actually happened and just hear the truth, I guess. But realizing that we're probably not going to get that. And
I don't
and
think
that
we're going to
really,
get the truth. Baena's not going to come out and admit anything.
Right. Right.
Actually, in fact, he already denied it. So.
Yeah, correct. So, okay, well, and then the loss to Villarreal. So coming off of the high in the Clásico, eliminating us in the historic victory at the Camp Nou, were you guys like, woo? And I know you're going to say like, nah, whatever, it doesn't matter. Sporting-wise, Liga's lost, whatever. But now Atletico is 2 points behind. Surely it matters whether you qualify or end the season, rather, second or third. Even if it is just for pride's sake.
Because I said that too.
We talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about it. In the end, does it really matter if you finish second or third?
You don't. I mean, do you still have to do the play-in,
no,
the preseason for the
Champions? No, I think that's old news. That was before rule changes and some coefficients were reshifted. So I think you get it anyway, automatically.
Well, then it's just the pot, right? Whichever pot, like, you don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, if the higher you finish, you can't keep drawing with the other giants. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which in your case, you don't care.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Put us on pot Z. The lower the pot, the better. We can punch above our weight and everyone can doubt us. No, look, did the 4-0 in Clásico, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it was just good to get to the Copa final with regards to, like, the score and stuff. Like, if it was against a big team, like, I think it'd be cool. But, like, you know, it's just against
Be fun against Osasuna, man. I'm looking forward to that game.
No, I mean beating Barca. Like, if, like, you're just beating Europa League team,
are you,
right? So, like,
are you
it's
fucking,
not that big a deal.
You
those these things, like,
gotta big, stop big, these jokes.
Big wins
you have to
are
stop
more important
this.
For Barca against Real Madrid because those are, like, the God. Only trophies you win generally.
And that's why your motherfuckers are like, hey, in the fucking, hey. I don't see them doing these kind of dances very often.
Well,
Kian,
we dance
and
against
like
everyone.
Carleto going, y mañana. Fiesta! By the way, applause
that's
to Cynthia and the whole Villarreal guys.
Oh, the
Villarreal.
trolled
You right back. Yeah, when they just trolled you so hard in that moment. That was so
good.
Good
banter.
That
good
was
banter.
good.
Having said that, I really did enjoy the Ancelotti the day off thing. I thought that was awesome. Yeah, listen, it was good. I think we were all happy after the 4-0. I think it was due. And
even though before the match you sent me another one of your famous texts, you said congrats.
I think by at minute 44 of the game before Vinny scored, I was kind of right. It's not going well.
You mean to say that we were closer to the 1-0 than you were?
You were closer to the 1-0. By the end of it, we were closer to the 10-0 than you were to the 1-0, I think. But I think I asked you this. I don't remember what you answered. Were you worried it was going to be more than four at any point?
Yeah. You asked me that. And yeah, of course. I mean, I never expected it to get to four, even though I judged them from what I saw in the first half, meaning when it was 2-0 down, I felt like, look, a goal and we're in this. That's all we need. Just fucking keep playing like we did in the first half. We're in this. And then it was the cheeky penalty, you know, and the 3-0. And then it was the clear, like amongst me as a spectator, the shoulders were dropped. But I felt that the team was already dropping their shoulders after the 1-0, you know, and then coming out the second half, boom, 5 minutes in, Benzema scores the 2-0. Then I felt like there was already this fragility that you mentioned, and that I also, I mean, it was so evident, obviously, that I addressed, became so apparent. And then it was like, holy shit, this game is lost. I still had faith as a fan that the 2-1 was there. 3-0, it was over. And then, you know, with the 4, yeah, I mean, obviously, I didn't want more. And at that point in time, you can expect anything to happen. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, that was, I think, the most important question I probably asked you. And actually, you even spoke about it before you even pressed play on mine to see what the question was the mentality part of it. Because Araujo talked about it, Sergio Roberto talked about it. This goes back to Alba crying at halftime at Anfield, even though game's not even over. Conceding one or two goals and then falling apart. And I think on the flip side, when Real Madrid is the one on the other end of it, which is like the kind of the opposite stereotypical cup game mentality guys who don't get fazed by this stuff. I think it seemed like a bad combination, but it also brings an interesting discussion that you guys defended way better in the first leg, not playing an open game. And I'm kind of glad that you guys decided to open
it's what
up
you wanted, yeah.
And play more football. It was great. It was great for all of our attackers. And also, one of the primary differences was that Rodrigo finally started the Clásico. I was really happy about that. So,
and I had to remind you of that. Because again, at the start, you said congrats. And I looked at his starting 11. I'm like, well, at least Rodrigo's fucking in there. What, you're already, this defeatism on your part. Why do you have that? I don't understand. That's why I don't understand why you could be supporting somebody like Ancelotti when consistently you're disappointed with his lineups. And it just like, I just feel like you're kind of riding the roller coaster. You're like, ah, this sucks. We win. Ah, look at this. We win. Ah, this is bullshit.
That's a great, great representation of what it's like being a Real Madrid fan. It is a roller coaster. It's constant. Look, the Camavinga left back thing was,
yes,
I was skeptical about because his best position is in midfield. And I was worried about, you know, if this is an open game and Barca attacked that space in behind them. But Camavinga wasn't.
And he was a good help for Rodrigo as well.
He was. There's
For Vinny, excuse me.
The main thing also, in addition to him being really good on the ball, and he didn't misplace any passes that game, was he did an amazing job on Rafinha defensively. And
he put him in his pocket.
Yeah, it was huge for us. And so he pleasantly surprised me. I know we've seen Camavinga play great at left back before, so this is not necessarily a surprise, but I think I was surprised to the extent of how well he locked down Rafinha while also being great on the ball was massive for us. And
I would love to see. Sorry, finish
no,
your
go
thought.
Ahead.
Camavinga versus Dembele. Dembele with rhythm, obviously, with minutes and healthy. But if he would be as easily annulled and erased from the game like Rafinha was under Camavinga.
I guess we'll never know.
Well, maybe hopefully next year. Who knows?
Yeah.
But no, because we talked about the match
of Araujo Vinicius.
Okay, well, that's another question, of course. He would have to play in that position, yeah.
We're getting Fran Garcia back also in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Fran Garcia, who scored a great goal against Atletico on the weekend in a losing cause.
Shout out. That's my air horn impression.
Probably better than the real thing.
So, well, anyways, man. Hey, what I liked as well is that you brought up the fact that I saw this coming. I was like, I feel like the impact of this will be huge. The score is going to be like.
But you didn't truly believe that, did you?
I did. I had a gut feeling. Mm. And the gut feeling was based on the fact that we were up three clásicos, as in, you know, back-to-back-to-back wins, missing nearly 50% of our starting team. Madrid coming to the Camp Nou, wanting to get a win, having good momentum, having, you know, physically they looked as well better than Barca. So they wanted to draw blood. I mean, I was expecting a hungry Madrid side. And, you know, I was like, if it has to happen, it's got to happen now. Like, this is the match. And that's kind of what I said before when talking to you as well. I'm like,
but I said that like so many times in my life that I just gave up on the idea. So I was really skeptical that that would happen. I think in addition to some of the things I was surprised about, like Camavinga putting Rafinha in his pocket,
Rodrigo. There's a lot of criticism right now towards Rafinha, to a lot of Barca players. There's so much pessimism. Lewandowski, Ansu Fati, Ferran Torres, Rafinha, Sergi Roberto, Eric Garcia. Who am I leaving out here? I mean, Kessié, you know, Busquets, Jordi Alba. Marcos Alonso. 10 players I've named right now that are under continuous fire from culés, from Barca fans.
So who are the ones that are like the everyone loves?
Gavi, like in Pedri? You'll be surprised. Me in the office, I do my work. I want to get it done as quickly as possible. I'm lucky in that sense that I somewhat work autonomously, but I don't get caught up too much in the chitter chatter around the newsroom, just because I'm on time constraint, right? I got to get videos done, get the program organized, and then record at a certain time. So I'm busy. But I hear what people talk about around me. And this is, you know, from within, like not just culés, but people that work for the club. And I'm like listening to their takes on, you know, our players, and I'm kind of like, it baffles me sometimes. It baffles me like how negative and they are towards these players.
So, yeah, that is an unfortunate thing for you guys, given that you guys have comfortably won the league. And I think it would be worth remembering that although Lewandowski has cooled down quite a bit, he is a huge part of the reason why you guys have won the league, because before the World Cup, he scored an incredible amount of goals, right? And that was a huge kind of launching pad for you guys to get all these points. So that should be remembered. I guess the concern with him is his age. I also got to say, like, I understand completely the sentimental reason of bringing back Messi, and there seems to be an effort to do so. I do wonder if that is actually a smart move from a sporting perspective. And it would just be better, you know, just going with more younger wingers who, you and I have talked about this. You got to change your style if you bring back Messi.
Yeah. You don't get the defensive sacrifice that Xavi wants from his players.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. you know, as an outsider, I'm fascinated to see what the short-term future of Barca is in a lot of ways, because on one hand, you have the up-and-comers like Gavi and Pedri, but then on the other hand, you do still have a huge core of older players.
Yeah.
And who's the goal scorer after Lewandowski? That's a big question mark. You know, we have the same question mark in Madrid with Benzema, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I think this team can improve, obviously. And I agree with you that I, like so many, of course, have obvious questions from a sporting perspective with regards to a possible return of the GOAT. I think the question is as well, like, where does Xavi want to improve the squad? What happens with, I mean, a lot of players? Like, you know, I think this summer is going to be very interesting for Barca, given the fact that we still need to lower our salary cap like 200 million euros or something crazy. And at the same time have, you know, a handful of assets that clubs could be interested in. And a lot of those are, of course, are younger prospects, knowing that you're going to have Lewandowski for another season. Xavi quite vocal about Busquets playing another season. Sergi Roberto just renewed his contract. So yeah, there's a lot of these old guards, like you say, that were still going to be here next season. So where does it leave these younger players? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
You know, Chelsea. That,
like, you guys don't really have anyone expiring anytime soon. Like, the only one expiring this summer is Busquets, who may stay another season still. Yeah. Rafinha 2027, Ferran 2027. Yeah.
The thing is, those players have, you could argue, have, you know, more market, as in Ferran is still young. He's 22 years old. He was acquired last season. You know, assuming that Barca paid, reported, what was it, 55 million for him, how much can you sell him for next summer in order to get a good price or not lose money, right? I mean, I don't think a club would want to pick him up for 55, taking amortization into account, his salary, et cetera. Like, what would you need to sell him for? Let's, you know, toss up a number, like, I don't know, 40-something, 45.
For who?
Between 40 for Ferran.
No way anyone's paying 40 for Ferran. Come on. No chance.
What about a Rafinha? You know, 75 million paid. If he would have to go, he's a player that has market for sure. What would you sell him for? Certainly not 75 again. So you're looking again, where could you sell him in order to at least break even?
I'm sure there are Barca fans who would disagree with this take. I think he is probably the least of your concerns. I think you don't sell Rafinha. I think he's a really good squad player to have. And I think he's one of the ones that you should keep. I'm more worried about the older players. The younger, like Ferran, okay, that's a different story. But Rafinha at least gives you the profile of, like, if Dembele's injured, he gives you the profile you need as a dribbler, a line breaker. And a player, even though he doesn't look great at times like he did in the Clásico, can also provide you with good stuff and maybe just ride the wave with him. I guess I'm more thinking about, like,
is Dembele old guard? He has only like 1 year left on his contract.
He's like middle guard. Healthy Dembele. Healthy Dembele is someone that every team would want. Question:
6 years. When has he been healthy in crunch time? It's like very similar to Neymar in PSG story.
That's true. He did give you guys a pretty good run this season up until he got injured, though.
It was the best Dembele we talked about. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm more concerned for you guys about, like, who is the depth after Pedri and Gavi and Frankie. mind you, those are three really awesome midfielders. So I guess it doesn't necessarily matter who you fill it out with, but.
Well, what annoys me is, like, you know, Pablo Torre was brought in with all this excitement because of what we were seeing from him, how he carried Santander, this prospect that played, you know, Barca-style football, already leader of his squad. He was like 17 there and you know, the focal point of that Santander game, carried them to success, gets brought in under the pretext of, all right, well, officially it's the B team, Barça Athletic, but he's never going to train with them. He'll be constantly called up to the first squad as well. But he's never had minutes, man. Like, we have not seen anything from this kid other than a few odd minutes in the Copa del Rey and for Barça Athletic with Rafa Márquez, where he actually had an immediate impact on his very first game. He gave a deadly pass into the box, and they scored within the opening. It was like the quickest game. I was calling that game. It was the quickest game in like I think it was the youth. Was it youth league? It might have been the youth league. You talk about depth. My answer is Pablo Torre. That's what he was brought in for, right? Yeah, we have a Nico out on loan to Valencia. I thought, you know, his future was here.
So has he not been playing regularly for Barça B?
Torres?
Pablo Torre.
Torre? No. No, not regularly, no. Not at all.
That doesn't seem to make sense. If he's not playing with the A team, he should at least be playing with the big B team, no?
Yeah, well, he's only played, like, top of my head, I think it's like 3 games.
Well, he's played 3 games in La Liga, 3 games in the Champions League. Is that right?
If it's on Transfermarkt, then
that's what it says. Yeah, I wonder if it was those. Yeah, I don't remember when he played in the Champions League, but interesting. Yeah, so those
look
are
at
all
the minutes. It's nothing. Yeah,
yeah, he hasn't done anything minute wise. I mean, one of his Champions League appearances, I think he came on to the 95th minute, so that counts, I guess, but not really. No. Yeah, those are all interesting questions about Barca, I think, and how that juggles. I always find it interesting to see how these things play out because, as we know, season to season can be wildly different. Things don't go as projected. And, you know, in some ways, we do face some of the similar problems, like who replaces Lewandowski and Benzema. Neither of us really know the answer to that. You guys already have the post Alba guy, that's Balde. You, Araujo is super young. Hunde's not old. You guys are Pedri and Gavi and Frankie are really young. You guys are, I guess I'm kind of interested to see how you fill out the depth and also who is the star. Because I think that's the main question, is who's going to be the attacking star?
Yeah.
I don't really have that for the future lined up.
There's a lot of talk. It's just it also the, you know, this Victor Roque kid from Brazil, you know, it's like your token Brazilian, that gets tossed around. Another season, another Brazilian, I feel, and that's no disrespect towards these guys. It's just that, like, we just kind of have to suppose that they're the hot shit over there because the press is telling us, unless you are super diligent and watch all the Brazilian football matches, or what's the La Liga called over there? Whatever, the Primera División.
Primera, something like that. So, okay. Diego, I got to run, but do you want to give us some Champions League predictions? City, Bayern today?
I'm like finishing this pod on a massive downer. I'm realizing we're in deep shit.
You guys are league champions.
Didn't I tell you? Didn't I fucking tell you? Like, we're league champions, and it's like the most pessimistic that I've seen people around me.
I love it. I love it. Cannot wait to see the cover of Mundo Deportivo after Real Madrid win the Champions League in Copa del Rey.
Oh my God! Please,
I'm
don't.
Kidding.
Please,
that's not. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Okay. Don't worry.
Good.
I'm also. I told Maradisas after the. I think the day after Clásico, I said, "Hey guys, I know you guys are all enjoying this, but just wait till the Osasuna final rolls around. low block, frustrating game. It's going to be lots of suffering. Just wait for it. And we got...
Come on, Jacobo. Come on, Jacobo, arrasate. Come on, Chimi. Oh, the fury of Chimi. Come on, Abde. I'm hoping for an upset.
Also, something else for you to cheer about.
What?
I think this might be the first time all season Chelsea tomorrow will have... Lampard will have his whole squad available.
Yeah.
Kante's back. Azpilicueta's back. Mount is back. Thiago Silva's back. So just wait.
Would you rather have faced Lampard's Chelsea or Luis Enrique's Chelsea?
Lampard.
Of course.
Yeah.
You lucky.
But you never know. That could come back to bite me because Lampard is like the, you know, I don't know, the respected figure who could inspire them. You know, everyone knows him.
They're not going to do shit. This is going to be a cakewalk until the semis against City. One City.
Oh, you think City's going to beat Bayern?
Yes, I do.
Because it's Pep? Yes. Oh, I really got to go, but I can't not bring this up to you. Did you see Pep's quote about Michael Jordan?
Yes.
Thoughts?
Yes. As in, he won 6 and played 16 seasons?
It just seemed like he was excusing. I don't think he should be comparing himself to Michael Jordan. I think he should be comparing himself to Phil Jackson.
Oh, very good. Well, you'll be able to ask him that in the pregame or the postgame when Real Madrid faced City.
Maybe. Yeah, that's a good one. I will, actually. I'll ask him that. That's a good one. I have to think of the wording. Also, Zidane would disagree with that. Zidane won 3 Champions League titles in 1 year. It's crazy. His ratio is incredible.
That's insane.
But Pep, you got to win one. You're not even in the 6 for 16 conversation. Not even close. You're in the 1 for 30 conversation. You got to at least get 2 in 30.
He needs to win another. Yeah, for sure.
For those confused, you can look it up. But Pep said that it's in the Champions League, it's more common to lose. And look at Michael Jordan. He played 16 seasons, only won 6 rings. All right, Diego, this was fun.
All right, playboy.
When are you doing, Thursday or Friday this week?
Thursday, sir.
All right, patreon.com/churros y tacticas for the Raw Thursday edition, where Diego will be celebrating Chelsea's win over Real Madrid.
Come on. And the first one is where? In Stamford Bridge or
Bernabeu?
All right. Let's do it. I don't know why I'm getting my hopes up.
You should because we no longer have the Bernabeu for the second leg comeback.
Yes.
All right. Congrats, Diego.
The plan is working perfectly. No,
congrats on the league. Congrats on Osasuna winning Copa. Congrats on Chelsea beating Real Madrid. Pitching next time, buddy. All right. This was fun. Right, take care. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.